Look at you, you found season two of How the Heck Have You Been. This is the intro where I tell you what the show is about, and that is, I call up somebody I haven't talked to forever, and catch up with them for about an hour. That's it. I'm going to have a short little ad at the end of every episode, but until then, if you want to support the show, go to artbymarker.com and buy some cool art. So without further ado, here's a little intro music and the show. Let's get to my talk with Rianne Wren, whom you might remember better as Rianne Weekly if you went to school with us. We talked about just about everything, especially the ups and downs of having children, and she's got one of the funniest stories I've ever heard about financial illiteracy. So, hope you enjoy our conversation. There's that beep boop. I see a green R. There she is. What's up, Rianne?
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
How's it going?
Pretty good. Okay, it looks like we're recording here.
Got it. It's a wild day.
Well, thanks for carving out the time. Your boss dropped a little meeting on you last minute.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I'm working from home today, unexpectedly. My son woke up this morning and his eye was swollen shut.
Oh, no.
And I was like, okay, pink eye, I've got this. We're going to do a virtual visit. We'll get some drops. I'm going to take him to grandma's house. I'm going to go to work. And we did the virtual visit, and the doctor was like, did you notice that his whole face is swollen? And I was like, no, I didn't. Like, I'm trying to get three kids ready for school, and I'm trying to go to work. She was like, yeah, this is not pink eye. You need to keep an eye on this. So,
yeah, that sounds – what does it sound like? Almost like an allergic reaction or something?
Yeah. Yeah, some kind of allergic reaction. I don't know. He's all doped up on Benadryl right now, so.
Oh, that's good stuff, though, Absolutely. If you ever need a nice night's sleep of weird, wacky dreams and you wake up feeling completely woozy, Benadryl's the medicine for you.
Absolutely.
So how many kids? You have a daughter too, right?
So I have three kids.
Oh, okay.
I have my oldest is Sydney. She's 13.
Wow.
And that's a trip, let me tell you.
Oh, gosh, I bet.
Teenager. Oh, she's nothing like me. She's exactly like her dad, which I'm not prepared to raise somebody else's payback child. my middle daughter's Reagan. She's 10 and she is me reincarnated. We lovingly call her Lisa Simpson because she knows everything and
nice.
She'll correct people. She is bossy, or as we tell her, to try to put a positive spin on it, she has great leadership skills.
Yes, future CEO.
Oh my gosh, that's my payback child. And then Jackson is 7 and he's rotten and it's all my fault because he's the only boy. So
that's how I was. So I was the youngest of three, two older sisters and me. So I was just kind of spoiled and I was the baby.
Yeah. Well, I'm the baby of 5, so
oh, wow.
I feel like it's appropriate for the baby to be rotten.
Of course, yeah.
Absolutely.
We deserve to be rotten. We deserve it.
Absolutely.
Nice.
This middle child thing, though, I don't know about all that. Reagan was definitely born to be a middle child, so.
Yeah, my sister was the same. My middle sister was the same. She's the one, I don't know, I shouldn't say too much. She was the one that she knew how to game the system and get what she wanted from mom and dad, and she was the sweet one, and the oldest one was like the responsible matriarchal one. But yeah. Well, we haven't seen it. So we saw each other once. You came out and checked out my Art by Marker stand at what were that Birdville, right?
Yeah.
Birdville High
School. With my sister.
That was good. But before that, we hadn't seen each other in 20 years.
No.
Maybe we should start there because that was a funny meeting because you showed up, we kind of talked for a little while, and then I felt bad. I was like, oh man, I said some things and I wonder if she's like offended of what I said. And then you messaged me a couple days later and you said the same thing about a completely different. She was like, user, like, I'm sorry if it was awkward because of this. I was like, I wasn't even thinking about that. I was thinking about my thing. And so I was like, are we all just wandering around anxious about stuff that nobody else cares about? And
Yes.
I think we are. So
I think I'm still reliving like moments from fourth grade where I was like, oh man, I wish I had done that differently.
Yep.
Because I just have this anxiety of I'm an awkward human, but I'm an outgoing awkward human, which
right.
is uncomfortable in and of itself.
Yep.
So it's like, oh, maybe I should apologize for, and I'm an over apologizer. So I don't
think that
helps the situation at all. Maybe I should apologize for being an awkward human and making other people uncomfortable with my awkwardness. Because my life, especially the last year and a half, 2 years, has just been kind of weird anyways. And so just like living in this space where I'm like, I'm just kind of, everything is new still and different. So
I've gotten to the age of the last couple of years where I've kind of stopped, in a good way, I've kind of stopped caring about some of the unimportant stuff. I'm just like, you know what, this is all BS. I can, you know, I can just shove this off to the side and not care. Whereas before, when I, like my first few years of teaching, I was like, I need to make everybody happy. I need to be the perfect teacher, the perfect mentor, the perfect student, the perfect this. And I'm like, nah, I've got this. I've got some experience. Y'all can just deal with my imperfections because it's too hard. It's too hard to keep that up.
Yeah. I go back and forth sometimes. I think what's funny is I had when my oldest was maybe 2 years old, I had a friend from church look at me and say, I was like so worn out all the time, like trying to make these gourmet meals for dinner every day and all this other kind of stuff. And she looked at me and she said, Ran, you know that cereal is a perfectly acceptable dinner. And I went, oh my gosh, why didn't I ever think of that? Like, that's such a simple thing, but like, why didn't I ever think of that? And I kind of like live life like that with work now. It's like, you know, sometimes cereal is a perfectly acceptable dinner, lunch, whatever. Like, in any aspect, you can use that kind of scenario of not every day is going to be perfect.
Yeah.
It's not going to live up to your expectations. We'll just move on and try again tomorrow.
It's okay to do the easy thing. Give yourself a break. Although I will say I don't think I mentioned this on a previous episode. I think I was just talking with somebody, but I saw this thing on Facebook where it was some therapist had told her patient that she was like overwhelmed because there's always dishes in the sink. And so the therapist said, just run the dishwasher twice. Like, just put them in there and don't rinse them off. Just put them in there and run it twice because you deserve it. But I'm like, wait, hold on. I don't think so. I think that's the one. Like, cereal for dinner is fine. That's a good, easy fix. But if you're shoving dirty dishes in the dishwasher, it's just going to clog with food, and then you're wasting water, and your water bill is going to double. Like that.
But are they actually getting clean?
And are, yeah, exactly. So anyway, I read that. I was like, hold, wait a second. This is beyond the pale.
Right. I will tell you, there are plenty of loads of laundry that I wash twice because I'm like, oh, that's been in there way
all
too
the time.
Long.
All the time for me. You leave it overnight. And then you're like, maybe it's not moldy. Maybe they didn't get mildew. And then you try to wear them. They smell fine.
No.
They smell fine until you wear them for a little while and you sweat a little bit in them. And then just come like, oh, no,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So I never risk it anymore. Just run it again. Speed wash again. That's all the time at our house. That's my worst chore. Like, I don't mind doing it, but it always just gets bumped to the bottom on my list where I'm like, I would rather do the dishes, vacuum, straighten up. And then like after that, I'll get to sorting laundry and then I never do.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's worse with kids. Sorry. You have all the little clothes.
Ugh. It is. Yeah.
And so then many fit in one load.
And then you have to like air dry the shirts or they'll shrink a little bit in the dryer and they grow so fast anyway that you're like, I need to maximize how long these fit, but you don't want to have to air dry them. It's a pain. Okay, I was going to hit rewind on us, so let's go back. So we met in probably seventh grade, I guess, or at least we both went to Hearst Junior High. Although we didn't really run around in the same Hearst Junior High circles. I assume you were with Jessica Rader at the time.
Yeah, some in junior high was more Candace James.
Oh, yeah. I forgot Candace. And then she, did she date Matt Schofield for a while?
Oh,
she
gosh,
dated. I know that was so
I
long
will
ago.
Tell you, I have a terrible memory.
That's okay.
Yeah. Kenneth, I don't remember
his last name.
I know that was.
I remember that. I remember him. And he was a year below us, I think, right, Kenneth? He played sax.
Above.
Oh, above. Okay.
Yeah.
And you were a clarinet, right?
I was, yeah.
So you had, Katie was flute. Flutes were at the same time as tubas. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know what brass instrument was playing when you were doing clarinet.
Oh, probably trumpets, I think.
Yeah, and I don't remember any trumpets from Hearst. I just remember all the Eldie Bell trumpets. Like Ben Johnson, right?
Yeah.
Nate Stein. Nate Stein. He was the best.
And you're saying names that I'm like, I know, I've been so anxious because I literally have a terrible memory. I'm like, what do I remember from high school? I remember band. I remember working. Like, what do I remember?
Band subsumed everything. Well, what job did you work in high school?
So the day I turned 16, my mom took me to MJ Designs down by East Chase.
Yes.
She was a manager because she had done seasonal work there, and my older sisters worked there in high school. And she took me to the manager and was like, Randy, she's 16 now. She needs a job. So I worked at MJ Designs until they went out of business. I got to do, as a 16-year-old, liquidation with them.
Nice.
No, horrifying experience. So having people cuss you out over 30-cent stickers is not a good experience when you're 16.
Yeah, you get all those bargain hunter, no-nonsense shoppers. They all come out of the woodwork. I thought MJ Designs became Michaels, or did Michaels just buy up those spaces?
I don't think they bought them out. I think they just completely liquidated. They were competitors.
Okay.
So, but I have no idea.
Man, I forgot about MJ Designs. What did that say?
I know,
for?
That's a throwback.
Was it
for
like,
sure.
It was like a name, right? I think no whoever idea. Started the company.
I'm sure.
And it was sure. A craft store, right? Like a craft and hobby store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I got to do like the balloon stuff, and I worked in Christmas time in the floral department and got to make the big bows, the bow tree toppers and stuff like that. I have the most ridiculous skills on the planet, so...
That is a skill. I can't handle. I just got my wife flowers for Valentine's Day, and every time it just stresses me out trying to organize them and arrange them. I'm like, I don't know. I'm sure I'm doing this wrong. I'm just putting them in there.
It's all about height.
I know. I'm sure. You may have seen it. I was proud of. I got her. She's a cardiac nurse practitioner, so I got her the anatomical heart vase, and like the flowers stick out of the little veins and arteries coming out of the. I guess they're valves, if I should use the correct terminology. I loved, like, I worked at Office Depot, so I always loved art supplies, drafting supplies. In fact, I remember saying that when I interviewed at Office Depot, and my manager kind of laughed. He was like, because I told him, I was like, I'm really passionate about the drafting section. He's like, what? Who are you? This most people just want a job and want to stock stuff. I'm like, no, these rulers, these pencils, they're the best.
That protractor's really calling my name.
It was. It really was. Straight edges are the best.
Oh, that's awesome.
All right. So band. I've talked a lot about it previous episodes, but it bears like do you have any specific memories of band in particular?
I just think like it's funny. The summer band, like every time I think and I go back, I think of two like distinct moments. I think it would be summer band, like breaking under the trees with our water bottles and just being drenched in sweat and all of that. And then Indianapolis is always just like instilled in my brain. It's funny. My nephew just graduated last May. And he was in band, and I went to one of his competitions and went to BOA San Antonio or something, I think his junior year, because his sophomore year was COVID and all weird.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember just sitting there and I'm like, God, I used to be able to do this. Like, I can't even remember what I had for breakfast, but I used to be able to remember 15 minutes worth of drill and music and directions. And like, I can't. What happened to my brain?
20 years happened. 20 years of raising kids.
Getting old sucks.
It does. And you have less of that spark to master things sometimes. Like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to. I could learn guitar, I guess, but I don't want to. That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But we did.
It's funny.
So.
I have a guitar, and I'm like, oh, I could go back to playing guitar. But then I'd have to deal with the calluses on my fingers, and that's really uncomfortable.
It is the worst part when you don't play for a while. You're like, crap, I got to build the calluses. That's going to be painful again. It is a pain. Yeah, because we were marching, you know, we would have to learn, and you know, it's a testament to the to the discipline they had us go through learning that drill, because it was basically just drill and kill, literally drill and kill, right? We're just practicing one step here, everybody on the right mark, go back. And then I'm sure I wasn't playing every note of the music that I should have learned and should have had memorized. I was cheating a lot of those half notes.
I know I for sure wasn't.
So were you in like the second band probably with me as well?
Yeah.
Symphony, or what was the top one? I think symphonic, and then concert band was the second one or third one.
Yeah,
I know Katie Paris is like yelling at the podcast right now, because she remembered everything. She remembered like all the scores and all of the dates. And
I cannot. Again, I can't remember what I had for breakfast, so that's terrible. But I will say I hated concert band, if that makes any sense.
Just sitting there.
Actually, going into high school, I did not want to do band anymore because I hated concert band so much from junior high. And my dad was a music major. So he had like he never used it until later in his life, but he had a music education degree. And so he said, no, when you go to high school, you do it for your first year. It's different in high school. Marching band is different. So just try it. And I did. And I fell in love with like the activity of marching band and the camaraderie and all of that kind of thing. But I still hated concert band. I still dreaded it every year.
And that was 2/3 of the year too. It was most of the year.
Yeah.
Was just sitting playing. I didn't dread it, but it was, I mean, it was monotonous, but then it was beneficial at the end. I was like, oh, all of this monotony, we like created something out of it, even though, especially for tubas, right? Because tubas have the most fundamental parts that are the least fun to play. Usually there are some that were kind of fun, but like marches were kind of fun to play. But yeah, towards the end I was like, oh, it was cool to perfect something over time.
Right.
But also very boring sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially when your section got it right and they were like focusing for 20 minutes on just the trombones or whatever. And then you're mouthing things to your friends and making signs and with your hands and all of that. So what would you have done if you hadn't done band? Because you did it all 3 years, right?
I did, yeah. I don't know.
Because there's choir.
Probably choir.
Sports. I was so not a sports person.
I did love volleyball. Loved playing volleyball, but never the best player, but you know, I had fun doing it.
Yeah.
So it was a good time. But yeah, no, probably choir. I did choir in college, so it's funny that I didn't do it in high school, but did in junior high, so.
Oh, you did both choir and band?
Mm-hmm.
I guess that was possible. Yeah.
It was possible back then.
So let's jump into college then. Where did you end up going?
So I everywhere.
Oh, Texas Women's, right? I thought I saw that.
Well, yeah, so I graduated from TWU, but I started out, so my parents, I'm the youngest of five kids. So their rule was your first year of college, you go to a junior college, just to kind of get your feet wet. Me and my two older sisters, like we never really had to study a ton in high school, right? To have to be able to get by. So to be able to build that discipline and notice that it's something different and figure that out. But we also wanted to get out of the house. So I went to my first year to Navarro College in Corsicana.
Oh, okay.
And so they had the cheer show over it on Netflix.
Okay.
In the middle of nowhere, but they did have dorms on campus. So it was about an hour and a half away, got a little bit away from home, but also kind of had that, you know, feeling of being in the dorms and all of that.
Is Corsicana closer to the Gulf?
13th grade. No, it's by in Ennis, by like close to Ennis.
Oh, okay, what am I thinking? It's on the Gulf. I'm thinking of Corpus instead of Corsica. I'm just thinking the sea, the hard sea sound. Sorry.
The seas. So did a year there, and I thought I wanted to do elementary education. So after that, I transferred to UNT, and I was hell-bent on not living in the dorms at UNT.
Wait, we went to UNT together?
Yeah, I went to UNT in 2006, I guess.
Nice, right? Okay.
Yeah. 2005.
We must have run into each other at some point, maybe. Maybe not.
Maybe. I worked a lot, so yeah. I'll be completely honest with you, didn't go to class a lot. My first class I walked into at UNT was a government class in an auditorium with like 500 other people, yeah. And I was like, oh no, this is not going to be for me.
Yeah,
I'm not so sure about this. But I worked a lot so that I could pay my bills to live in an apartment off campus instead of staying in the dorms like a normal human would do, because I'm a little too stubborn and hard-headed. So didn't do so well, and then took some time off. My first education class, I was really excited. I wanted to be a teacher. And then I went into the education class and I was like, oh no, this is actually not what I wanted to
do. I'm not so sure this is right. Yeah.
And I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. I still don't know if I know what I want to be when I grow up.
Okay. You must remember this, or maybe. So my wife graduated a year before us, and I think it was the valedictorian of her class when we were playing at graduation, because we played the mm-hmm. Pomp and Circumstance. Her speech was all about, if you don't know what you want to be already, you're behind, and like, why don't you already know? And she was basically like scolding everybody in her class that didn't already have a major picked up. Like, really, are you serious? Like, a lot of people, it takes people a while sometimes.
It makes me feel bad, especially as a mom. Like, I still sit here. My sister's 45, and she's like, I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. You know, like, we're still trying to figure it out. But having a 13-year-old, like, I have a 13-year-old who thinks, like, maybe I want to be a welder, an artist, a jewelry maker. I have no mm-hmm. idea. You know, let me tell her, like, you don't have to know. Just go and figure it out. And no matter how long it takes you, just you'll get there.
Yeah.
Just build some kind of skill, and you will get there. I ended up going back to school for music therapy. I landed on music nice. Therapy, yeah. Was really excited about it. And that's where I landed at TWU. And right before I finished my degree, I got pregnant with my oldest. And that degree is so specialized in the sense that it's a small college for music therapy. If you miss a class, like an offering for a class, you're going to have to wait probably a year or two until the next offering is put yeah. up again, because of how everything is structured. And the classes were really mostly 8 to 5 Monday through Friday with practicums and things like that. So as a new mom, it wasn't going to work. So I finished out my last semester in December. I had her January 1st, and January 19th, I went back to school and online and finished my degree in music and business, and then became a stay-at-home mom for 3.5 years. So it was, you know, an interesting transition.
Yeah. That's about what I did as a stay-at-home dad for 3 years. Cause my wife makes a little more money than I did, by which I mean twice as much. So if one of us was going to stay home, it was going to be I. And how was that experience? Because it is a whole different skill set, raising a child and just keeping it alive.
It is. You know, this is going to make me sound like a terrible mother, but
no,
with no. one.
Only to those who don't have kids. It'll make you sound.
Well, with my oldest, it was great. Like, she was such an easy baby. As a teenager, she's hell. But as a baby, she was so easy and really could, like, I could tote her along anywhere. And she was great. My middle was born and she just screamed all the time. Mm-hmm. They're 3 years and 1 week apart. She screamed all the time. My husband at the time would go to work and come home, and as soon as he walked in the door, she would stop screaming and she was happy. And she was 6 months old, and I looked at him and I was like, look, either I've got to go or she's got to go. So I think I need to go back to work, because I cannot do this anymore.
Yeah. Yep. There is a limit. Like, the human mind can only handle so much of that sound in your ear for hours. You know, I mean, there's a reason they use that as like a torture device. You know, the loud noise and constant noise. It's like, yeah, I mean, this sounds horrible, and I don't mean to make light of it, but you understand shaken baby syndrome, because it's like, it's like the only thing that will make them stop. You know, it's horrifying to think of, but it just, yeah, you have, and that's like, if you have a partner with you, you're like, okay, I've got to leave for a minute. Like you say, I've got to leave, or, you know, this isn't going to end well.
Yeah, it's definitely, there are definitely moments where it's like, oh, I don't know that I can do this. It's like equally the, I tell people it's equally the most wonderful and terrible thing on the planet, mm-hmm. being a parent, because I love my kids more than anything in the world. And I would do anything for them. But also, like, they make me more exhausted than anything I could ever imagine. And I have employees at work who are young moms, and they're like, it's so hard, I'm so tired. And I say, you know, I wish I could tell you that it gets better, but the heart just changes. Heart just becomes different.
It just shifts. That's true. Although, it's, I
really,
mean,
really doesn't get easier.
Yeah. And mine are right at the age now. My youngest is 6 and oldest is 8. And they're finally at the age now where they'll, like, play together for an hour or two without screens sometimes. Like, we give them screens for, like, an hour a day to have some quiet time. But sometimes they'll just play pretend. And I'm like, man, I wonder if my wife is having to deal with them this whole time. I'll be upstairs, you know, working on my art or writing or whatever. And then I'll go down and she's just reading a book on the couch while the girls play. I was like, oh, this is okay. This is cool. All right. This, I can handle this. They're still needy the other 23 hours of the day. But sometimes they'll entertain each other. But yeah, the heart parts do change.
I will tell you, when we had the ice event a few weeks ago, I was so excited. At the end of the week, I looked at my kids and I said, I'm going to tell you guys really honestly, I am so thankful that all of you go to the bathroom by yourself. You know how to work the microwave and get your own snacks, because this changes things. It's a game changer. Mm-hmm. It's like, ooh, I don't know that I would want to start this over. Like, this has gotten, this is, it's still hard in a different way. The attitude and the eye rolls and the, all the everything, but it's definitely, there are perks.
Yeah. I feel like when they get to the age of your kids now, it's about, it's like, now we've got to prevent them from making life altering bad decisions. Like, until mm-hmm. they're 8, you know, there's not much they can do in the, you know, to alter their lives irrevocably, but now it's like, man, now we got to, like, worry about boyfriends and girlfriends and relationships and trying to set them on some sort of path, even though it may not even, it may be impossible to control any of that.
Yeah, my struggle the last couple of weeks has been grades with the oldest. Mm. She's in 7th grade. And I had her, I had a teacher call me and say, you know, she needs, you know, this and this and this, and she's failing still. And I'm like, I'm going to tell you, we've done tutoring. I've gotten her up early. I've stayed up late with her. We've done this, we've done that. Like, she has the papers done. She just leaves them in her backpack and never turns them in. So I'm going to tell you, my stance on this right now is I think Sydney needs to fail. Mm-hmm. Yep. She needs to feel the pain and discomfort of those consequences, because this is not a skill issue. When the child turns in no papers but aces the test, it's not because she doesn't understand the material. Yeah. It's a will issue. And at this point, I don't know how to teach her other than just let her suffer the consequences and kind of, you know, if she has to redo 7th grade, it's really no skin off my back. That's going to be terrible for her, though. She's not going to enjoy that. So.
Yep. And probably letting her make that mistake before 9th grade when the GPA starts totaling up is better anyway. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
That's the hard part. It's the hard part is knowing when to have tough love, because they definitely need it sometimes.
Yeah, it's hard. I go back and forth. I think as a mom, one of the hardest things has been realizing when your kid is different than you. Like, I was always the kid that I was, one, scared to fail because I didn't want to disappoint anybody. But two, like, I wanted to do well. Like, and she, it's not that, I think she has always been the kid that never really cared what people thought of her. And so as her mother, I'm like, ooh, let's harness that as long as we can. But if you could care, like, what some people think of you, that would be cool. Like, adults, maybe
just your teachers.
Right. If you don't care what your peers think of you, I think that's fantastic. But maybe grownups. But then harnessing, and I don't know, just accepting the fact that they're different than you. And they're not going to respond the same way as you would have. It's hard.
It is.
It's really hard.
It is. It's hard navigating the differences of kids, too. Because my youngest is already a firecracker, will have nothing to do with my goofy nonsense. And she's only 6. And, you know, it's like, oh, man, this is going to be a long road. Mm-hmm. But I do feel an obligation to, like you said, point out the immense positive side of parenting, because I feel bad. I feel like a lot of parents, especially our generation, the things I see are just really often negative, like just pointing out the hardships and negativities, but there really is nothing else like it. You know, and as you get older, you're like, man, what am I leaving behind? And then you can look at all of the work you put into your kids, and there they are, these little awesome beings that love you back. Hopefully, most of them do.
Yeah.
And you look forward to it. They wear you out and wear you out and wear you out. And then as soon as you leave the room after they're in bed, you miss them. Like already.
I know. It's ridiculous.
It's weird. And then I have to remind myself, this is hard, but you're going to miss it, right? Like when they want nothing to do with you, when they are 13 and they want nothing to do with you and they're at school all day or with their friends, you're going to miss the time with them.
It's different. And being divorced, like I have, so we do 50-50 custody. So we have a week on, week off. And that is hard. It was really hard being like going from being 100% mom. And I know it's not really like this, but then kind of being 50% mom. Because the whole week they're gone, I'm like missing them like crazy and texting them and things like that, because I just want to know what they're doing and what they're up to and let them know that I'm thinking about them. And then they walk in the door and the eye rolls start and all the incessant questions. And I'm like, oh my gosh, why? What is happening? Yeah. But, you know, it's wonderful. You're right. There's nothing like it in the world. It is exhausting.
It is.
So it's just a very different experience.
The way I heard it put the best was they destroy your life, but then build you a better one.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It completely blows your life apart, and then they put it back together with all their cuteness and their love.
Yes. Even if they are absolutely stinkers. When the 13-year-old comes to me and she wants to like hug me and snuggle me, I'm like, okay, do I need to take you to the hospital?
Yeah.
Are you sick? What are you wanting? Let me enjoy it. I'm just not going to ask questions. Let's just sit here for a few minutes. So
that was the same. My youngest was sick the other day, and I knew she was sick because she actually let me like rub her back a little bit or ruffle her hair, and it didn't bother her. I was like, oh, you must be exhausted because you normally will have nothing to do with me. Good times. All right. So what are you doing now for career? Are you still doing music?
I'm not at all, actually. So I actually work in healthcare. I've been in healthcare for the past 11, 12 years. It'll be 12 years this year. So I worked for a major healthcare organization for just about a decade. Doing a lot of different things, but I helped open a new hospital 3 months before COVID hit. That was a lot of fun, really. Not a good time to open a hospital, but a busy time indeed. Keeps you busy. But I work for a small insurance company right now. So I'm a director over our member services. So getting members set up for surgery, elective surgeries, non-emergent and things like that. So when I went back to school in 2019, I guess it was, for my MBA. And I was like, I'm going to get my MBA and not my MHA because I'm not going to stay in healthcare, you know, whatever. But it's one of those things that has just kind of sucked me in, and like I can't get out of it. Just at the end of the day, knowing that you're making a difference in someone's life during like these pivotal moments where they're in pain or they're scared or they're just so uncomfortable and they don't know what to do has always, you know, been that driving force for me to kind of keep going and keep pushing. So
nice. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's nice. It's such an existential thing when you get sick and you're like, crap, I could even, you know, when you don't know what it is and you're worried, like, could I even die of this? And to like take care of the money side and not have to worry about that part is often a godsend if you have good insurance.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't want me to be your nurse or doctor. Right. Sure. I'll just,
I'm so thankful that people have different skill sets and the world isn't all full of just me or just you, because like it's like I couldn't do elementary school. Like you said, you couldn't either. I couldn't do the healthcare side. So thank God for all of the different people out there doing jobs I couldn't.
Yeah, during COVID, it was kind of all hands on deck at the hospital. Like whatever you can do, you know, legally
yeah.
to be able to assist, you can. And they're sometimes I was like, oh, y'all, just get me. This is not okay. Like, I will sit and talk to people and love on them, but don't ask me to be anywhere near where they're getting treated or there are needles involved. That's not my jam. So,
well, were they? So I remember those first couple weeks, my wife said they had pulled up refrigerated trailers to store all of the potential dead bodies, right? Like, we didn't know how bad it was going to be. And so, and luckily it wasn't that bad to where, you know, it was like overflowing, but that was freaky. So I don't, like, do you have any memories of when COVID first hit and the craziness since you were setting up hospital and stuff?
No. So I think that we didn't really have that because, in a sense, we had just opened literally 90 days right before everything shut down. So when they shut down, so my hospital was a joint venture with another major organization that's based out of Dallas County. So my hospital is in Collin County, joint ventures in Dallas County. So there's kind of a conflict of interest, not of interest, but in terms of like how those different counties proceeded after the state allowed us to come back with elective surgeries. So because we were a partnership, when Dallas County was still shut down with elective surgeries, this hospital was sending all of their elective surgical procedures over to our smaller hospital. So it's just a small community hospital, just kind of getting on the map. But in that area, a lot of other facilities were not accepting COVID patients. And so we did. And we didn't have anything like that where we had the refrigerators and things like that. But it was busy. I mean, patients in hallways and all sorts of crazy stuff. We had, because it was such a high growth area, we had two floors dedicated specifically to women's services, imagining that a lot of babies are going to be born and that kind of, then it ended up being half of a floor was for women's services and everything else was for COVID and things like that. So, but we did really well because we got all those Dallas County procedures during that time. So that was exciting. It was good for growth, but.
Yeah, and health. I mean, that industry already is, even before COVID, was, you know, super fast growing and continues to do so. Especially now that all the baby boomers are aging out, right? Like, they all need healthcare now. So there's like hundreds of thousands of people that are needing all this care. So good job security.
Yeah.
I do want, like, do you have a, because you've got a new boyfriend now that I did a little commission for, and appreciate that.
I do, yes.
In fact, that was really popular online when I posted it, because it hasn't been selling well at my shows. But when I posted that thing online, when I finally listed on Etsy, I sold like three or four of them off the bat. That was cool.
Yeah. So I met John very shortly after everything with my divorce happened. And he was kind of going through the same situation. And it's just kind of, he is amazing. We have really challenged each other. I think it pushed each other. We're both really hard-headed, which has been a lot of fun to navigate in a new relationship. But he is, I know when we first started dating, I called him James Bond because he loves James Bond and all things. So I was thinking about Christmas and I was like, no, yeah. So for after your podcast with Spain, I went and got her graphic novel for my oldest for
there you go.
Christmas. And she actually took it to school the other day and she was reading it in the car. And I was like, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Like, that's so fun. So I love that. I am not that creative. I'm not as creative as you guys. I wish I could be. I thought as a young adult that I was going to be. And now I'm like, ugh, my brain's too tired. I can't come up with stuff like that. But so having that was so much fun. And he loves it in his office and having his James Bond piece.
Nice. I'm glad that was a fun one too, because it was easy to do because it's all monochromatic black and white, so I could just focus on the detailing and what was hidden inside. But do you have like a meet cute story with him?
Yeah, so I so my uncle works at this bar in Richardson on the weekends. He has for years and years and years. He does private security for a family in Dallas during the week. And on the weekends, he works the door at this bar. So they have karaoke on the weekends. And they had a karaoke contest. So my mom had decided, or I had decided, or some, my sister, I have no idea, that we're all going to go, and me and my dad are going to sign up for this karaoke contest. And I was sitting at a table with my parents and my sister, and he walked by me and said, "Has anybody ever told you you look like January Jones?" And I didn't even know who January Jones was. Mm-hmm. I had to Google her, and I said no. And since then, nobody has still said that to me. However, he came over and spent most of the night actually talking to my parents. And then I don't remember giving him my phone number.
But he says you did.
Apparently I did, because he wouldn't stop calling me, and I was trying to get away from him. And then I eventually just gave in, and it's kind of been... been the story ever since. So
nice.
He's a lot of fun. He's an amazing guy. So my kids love him, and we've been having a lot of fun. So
does he have kids as well from previous?
He does not. He does not. So it's definitely a new adventure for both of us. But
nice. Do you remember, did he or you sing anything on karaoke?
He did. He went up and did karaoke with a friend. He did Stacy's Mom.
That's classic.
So when he called me the next day, I couldn't remember his name. And so I saved it as Stacy's Mom. And then it changed to James Bond. It was, there are a few iterations in my phone of what his name has been. But it started out as Stacy's Mom because that's all I could remember.
That song is great too. It was just on the radio last week. I was listening to it. I was like, this is still holds up.
It does for sure. And the dance moves that he does with the song it's the most ridiculous thing. He's so fun and just like goofy. He loves to draw too. So he's been drawing stuff. That's his New Year's resolution, to get back into
to draw
art
more. Nice.
Kind of draw more and stuff, and my kids all love art, so they kind of all share that in common. I can't even draw a stick figure, so
yeah. Well, you know, the kind of stuff I do is mostly just that geometric abstract stuff, and I'm trying to do a children's book and illustrate that, and I've got the text written, but it's like a whole different skill to do illustration, like figure drawings and stuff, and I'm looking at videos on it, and I kind of want to build that skill up as well, but it's not easy. When I watch like the old Disney animators just like draw Donald in 12 seconds and then a different Donald in another 12 seconds, you know, stepping forward, I'm like, geez, how do you do that with like get the proportions right? Yeah. And it's incredible. It's crazy.
No, I can't even get a stick figure to look like a normal. I have no idea. It's terrible.
Well, like I said, we all bring our own stuff to the table.
I'm still trying to figure out what that is, but
well, I mean, I think insurance, health insurance, and healthcare is much more important than me doodling, for sure. So
it's not very exciting though, or fun. I wish it was a little more fun.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what jobs have I had. I don't think I mentioned. Well, I did the call center, and I want to say Jessica Rader actually worked at the same call center I did for a hot minute. I think it was somebody from school, and I was like, oh yeah, we trained at the same time. And I remember actually working. That was right senior year after. Did you go to Spain's house for prom? A bunch of us went to like did a sleepover at Spain's house after prom one night.
I can't remember if I went to Spain's house. I went to somebody's house after prom. I thought it was Lindsay Balthrop's house though.
Oh, maybe. I'm sure she had something. Well, but she was.
But I don't remember.
Oh no, she was our class. She was our class. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, cause she was drum major with Toby. Yeah, Spain had a party. I remember having to work the next day. We stayed up till like 2 or 3 a.m. and I burnt pizzas in her oven and forgot them in there, and and then I just remember like going to work on 3 hours of sleep. But it was kind of just a crappy. We organized like homeowners to show their house with. Real estate agents if it's selling. So they didn't have to call the owner. They could just call us, and we knew the notes on the house and what the code was to get in. And yeah. So it was just mindless regurgitation of information. And I would sometimes take a book and read it while I was like I don't know how I could do that because it was so on and off, like having to talk, you know, every few minutes. But and I would be reading, and then I would notice that 5 minutes have gone by, and it's the phone ringing that doesn't ever stop. That just doesn't go to voicemail because they don't have a voicemail set up. So it's like, oh, I think I've been on this ringtone for 10 minutes reading of War and Peace or whatever I was reading. So anyway, that was a fun job.
Yeah, I think the worst job I ever had is I worked in a bank call center. And I remember being in training and people saying, you're going to hear people say some of the most ridiculous things that you've ever heard in your life. And I'm like, no, people aren't this stupid. Like, they're not. But literally people will call in and say, my account can't be overdrawn. I still have checks. And I'm like, this is not how this works. It doesn't work like that. I argued with like an 80-year-old lady one time because I kept asking her for her account and she kept giving me her medical, like her health insurance card. Number. And I was like, this is the bank. Your debit card number or your account number.
That is awesome. I can't
help you with your insurance. It was terrible.
I can't be overdrawn because I still have checks.
And legitimately, not just one person would think that. I would hear it at least once a day.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Or they would want you to like upsell things to them. So somebody's calling in because they want an advance on their direct deposit. And they're like, offer them this credit card. And I got QA'd one time. My boss was like, you didn't offer this credit card and it was in their offers and they could have done that. And it would have helped them. And I'd be like, okay. So ethically, I don't think that offering them this credit card is really what is going to help them in the long run, because they're trying to get an advance on their direct deposit and then you want me to offer them more debt. Like I don't think, just, this isn't right. It's not okay.
Rhianne, if you just word it differently, it sounds like it's ethical. It sounds like it will help them.
No, I couldn't do it. I was like, morally, I do not feel okay doing this. It was really hard.
Well, good for you. Good for you, by the way. Gosh.
I don't know if the bank saw it that way, but.
Oh, I'm sure they didn't. I'm sure they didn't. And that's why we had a housing crisis very soon thereafter, probably. I don't know what year that was, but I remember. Because we graduated like right into the recession, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was probably all those terrible mortgage offers I had to give people.
Ugh. Yeah. That was it. They're like all these people were buying houses like twice as expensive as they could really afford. It's crazy.
Meanwhile, they're getting direct deposit advances and
yeah.
It was just terrible. Like I couldn't.
Yeah, Liz Fontenot had some similar stories about her when she was working the phones at her. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Oh man, people. I feel like I'm financially illiterate. But even I know that a check isn't cash, right? Like, it doesn't equal money, right. A certain amount of money. Right. Like, it's just basic critical thinking. Like, if I can put $2,000 on this check or a dollar on this check, it has no... Oh. Anyway, that's great.
It's... And then I think about, like, do kids... Look, I've got a 13-year-old. Like, I don't even know if she knows what a check is.
Right.
I should probably ask this question today.
Well, I used to feel bad because I've never balanced a checkbook because I don't really write that many. Most of what we pay now is direct deposit, and we just trust the bank to not be taking all of our money. You know, I check through my online accounts and make sure that, you know, aren't any purchases that weren't there. But I remember my dad spending hours balancing his checkbook, and if he was 3 cents off, he would be so upset because he'd have to go back and find it. And like, I don't know, maybe we should still be balancing checkbooks, but I certainly don't. Do you?
I think we for sure should be, but
yeah.
No, I wish that I could answer that honestly and say yes, but no, I don't.
Yeah.
I should. I'd also probably be really ashamed if I actually did that and be like, oh my gosh, I spend way too much money on X, Y, or Z.
Mm-hmm.
Be shameful.
I was very fortunate to have married somebody with a lot more money sense than I have. So she's kept me honest. I'm amazed. Anyway, never mind. I was gonna say I'm amazed she lets us have a joint account together sometimes.
Well, somebody's got to keep an eye on it, right?
I know, yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we're getting I'm getting close to the hour mark here, and we still have a couple things to get through. We still have your challenge, your quiz. It's only five
questions. Oh,
So the episode
no.
before
Okay.
you was
Terrifying.
Lauren Denson, now who's now Dan Hoff. She had 10 questions, so you're getting a little easy. And I think some of these might be pretty easy
Oh, good.
questions. But before that, I've got my prepared statement. Rhianne, because of your amazing energy and love of life, I am sincerely grateful and better for having known you. You're one of the hundreds of kind, generous, and benevolent people I know in a world where we need every single one we can get. So keep being awesome and doing awesome things.
Thank you. You
You're
as well.
welcome.
I'm so excited. Thanks for having me be a part of this.
Sure. And that was my main memory of you, was just like this kind of vivacious, like always having fun, always smiling, always laughing. You're kind of the life of the group and wherever you were. So good stuff.
Oh, well, thank you. That's really sweet. That makes me feel really good. I like to still try to be that way.
Yeah.
I'm just older and more tired now. I go to bed a lot
Oh
earlier.
gosh. It's really crazy. Like it's the shift has been insane, because I don't usually I'm in bed at like 9:30 sometimes, and it's great. It's amazing. And I tell some of my students that, and they're like, "What?" Because I know they're staying up till midnight, 1, 2 a.m. Like, guys, you have no idea. You
Yeah,
have no
it's
idea.
the best thing ever.
Okay, now your maiden name is Rhianne Weekly. So here are five questions about the days of the week. Let's
Oh,
see.
okay, this feels
Yeah, all right,
good.
yeah. I think this will not be too bad. All right.
Okay.
Technically, the rules state you have 7 seconds to answer before I count it wrong. These are not, however, multiple choice. So it's short answer. All right. Number one, which day of the week has a name that derives from the Norse god of thunder?
I have no idea. Thursday. Thunder for
Correct.
Thursday.
Correct. It is
Yes.
Thor's Day. Thor's Day, which is true.
Thor's Day.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Named
Look
after
at
Thor.
that.
All right. In French, now you took French, right? If I remember.
No, I took sign language.
Oh,
This
sign
is
language.
going.
I just remember
This
what I remember
is
you didn't take
scary.
Spanish. Okay, so maybe this won't be as good. In French, this day of the week is called Vendredi, named for Venus. But in English, it's named after the Norse goddess of love and beauty, which is also Thor's mother, if you watch the Marvel movies, whose name is Freya.
Friday.
There you go. Correct.
Thank
Correct.
you.
Helped you a little bit.
Thanks for that hint.
All right, number three. This day of the week is named after the moon, which explains why in so many languages the word for this day includes lu or lune, which is from Latin, meaning the moon.
Loon or loon? Is it Wednesday? I don't know.
Incorrect. It is
What?
Monday.
Monday. I was thinking it probably wasn't Sunday. Moon. Monday. Got
Monday.
it.
Yeah.
That
And then,
makes
like,
sense.
I know in Spanish it's
Moon.
lunes. I don't know what. I
I don't
don't.
know Spanish.
I know in sign language it's this. So, loon in sign language.
don't remember what it is in sign language either.
Yeah.
Again, the memory here is not so good.
All right. Number four. In Italian,
Oh,
which you
great.
also do not
Which
speak.
I also do not speak.
The name of this day is Domenico, which comes from Dies Dominicus, which means Day of the Lord.
Sunday.
Correct, correct. Sunday.
I got that one.
And then in Spanish, Domingo is Sunday. All right, number five. What holiday is celebrated on the first Sunday after the full moon that occurs on or after the spring equinox? What common holiday is celebrated on the first Sunday after the full moon that occurs on or after the spring equinox?
Easter.
Correct. Good job. That was good. That was good.
Okay, good.
Only
Look
missed
at
one.
me.
That's a passing grade.
I worked as a assistant children's director for a church for a little
Oh,
while.
nice.
Maybe I
That
got more in here than I thought.
every year I'm like, how do they determine the Easter Sunday again? Because it's never on the same month. It's never the same week of the month. And there it is. Whatever the first Sunday
I
after the
know.
full moon that occurs on. What a weird way to determine that.
That is a weird way to do it.
Good old religion.
I thought it was all done off the Christian calendar. I guess maybe that revolves. I have no idea. There's some things I just don't need to know the answers to. That's what I've come to find in adulthood is like, you know what? I really don't need to know the answer to that. I'm okay with not knowing.
Although, okay, so I was watching a video of Neil deGrasse Tyson explaining the Gregorian calendar and how it was super accurate. And so the reason we have a leap year is because we overcorrect, right? Like, so we took a day out of February, 2 days or whatever. So it only has 28 days. But that every 4 years, because the Earth doesn't rotate exactly once, like an exact integer when it gets around the sun, right? There's like a fraction of a day that we have to include. But because of that, we take the leap year every 4 years out. But he was saying that every 400 years, it like we undercorrect a little bit because of every 4 years. And so actually every 400 years, we have to add that day back in. And so I'm like, what? Gosh. So when, like, is
it's
it?
Really complicated.
I know. So every 400 years, I guess February doesn't have a leap year, right? Like for 8 years or something. It's crazy. Anyway.
No, weird.
But I haven't been able to find like what year that's going to be when we don't have a leap year.
Like, does that fall in our lifetime?
I know, that's right? Weird. Craziness. Bananas. Thank goodness for, like I said, thank goodness for people who have better skill, other skill sets than us, because I could not have made
that
calendar.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All righty. Well, this was good, Rianne. Thank you again. Yes. And thanks for coming out to see me at that show. And
absolutely.
I wonder if people are now wondering what we were so anxious about having said.
I don't even remember what was said. I just remember being like awkward, like, and here's my awkward humanness.
Well, it's funny too, like, it's the same with this podcast, because we were like, the people I interview we were like good friends in high school, but it's been 20 years, so it's like, are we still good friend? Do I still deserve an hour of your time, or is it like, you know, asking a lot or not much at all? I don't know. It's like, it's this weird dynamic. And then especially when I'm selling stuff, I'm like, do they feel obligated to buy something? Because I hope they don't, but I'm just happy they're here. But it's like, hey. But for me, it was like, I said, you look the same. I was like, oh my gosh, you look exactly the same.
Oh,
but you've clearly like been really good about health and fitness. Yeah. You've lost weight since high school. So I was worried about that. I was like, I hope she doesn't bring it.
And I just don't know how to respond anyways. Like so I'll be honest with you, and it's no, like, it's not to be offensive or anything, but like when I see, it's weird living in the same area that you grew up in, right? Like, it's just weird. Like, sometimes you run into people and you have no idea how, like, oh my gosh, I haven't talked to this person in 20 years. What do I really know about them still? And so if I see someone that I recognize, like, at the store, I will actively dodge.
Go away,
because I'm like, I don't know if I may not even remember your name correctly.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Exactly.
Like, I could have completely like been mistaken at you as someone else. And so I'm just going to avoid the situation in general, so I don't make anyone uncomfortable.
Well, and then it's like, you're out doing stuff and you may have 30 seconds to say hello, and then it feels weird. Okay, well, haven't seen you in 20 years, but bye. See you in another 20 years.
Yeah. Now, I will say, I just had a memory come up on Facebook that Rachel Jones, she's McGowan now, but Rachel Jones, she was in Color Guard and a year or two maybe below us in school. But I ran into her at a bar in like Frisco or Little Elm a year ago. Now, when I'm have a few drinks in me, it's cool. Like, we're best buds again. But just out shopping and being out, it's different.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny because that is most people's inclination. But for me, especially when I see students like that I've taught, because I've taught, I think this is my 10th or 11th year now of actual classroom teaching. Like, I always want to go say hello, and it kind of surprises them. I remember I had a student who thanked me for it. She was like, that meant a lot that you actually came out, because it was at the Northeast Mall even. I remember at one of the stores, I was like, hey, how's it going? Do you still want to be a teacher? Like, yeah. And afterward, because her mom worked at the school, she was like, that meant a lot to her that you came up and said hello. I was like, really? Aww, what? That's just, sweet. Yeah. But it is. I have avoided people as well before. Somebody came up to me at the Hearst Rec Center and remembered me, and I did not remember them. I did not, like, they said their name. I was like, okay. You know, kind of tried to play it off. And it's rough.
Yeah.
It's rough. It ended up it was Toby Dickinson. No, I'm kidding. I still hang out with him. I still, we play ridiculous. No, it was some like, kid from like elementary school or something.
It was like, it was my very best friend yeah. ever.
That I had in high school.
And I did not remember him.
No, good time. Actually, I just saw Toby at Super Bowl Sunday. We watched at my sister's house.
Oh, that's
so
fun.
he's still good friends with my sister. That's so good. We hang out. I do need to get him on the podcast, even though I've
seen yeah, for sure.
Because I interviewed Lauren, but you know, we've seen each other every month at writing group, and the whole point is like catching up with people. But
yeah,
but now that I did Lauren, I should do Laura and Toby.
Yeah, because the rest of us want to know what
I know, right? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good times. Okay, well, I'll let you go. You still have to work some more today, I guess, from home?
I do. I have a afternoon full of meetings.
Nice.
So
fun. All right.
Yeah.
Well, this was hopefully this was a nice break for you.
It was. Thank you so much.
This was good. And then and don't feel like almost every time everybody texts me, I'm like, oh, that was okay. And this and this. No, it was great. It was great. Awesome. People are going to love it.
Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks again. I'll see you at the reunion next year. It's our big, oh it's the God. 20 year next year. Yeah.
Why'd you have to say that? I feel the gray hairs growing out of my hair now.
Yep.
Or out of my head. Yeah.
All right. Hey. Have a good
see
one.
See you then.
Yeah. All right, bye. All right. As promised, a short, brief little ad about an awesome product that I've got on sale from artbymarker.com. This is the full deck of cards. I did hand-drawn detailing for every heart, club, diamond, spade, face card that you see. These things are printed on 310 GSM linen, so this is casino quality. It's as nice as you'll find anywhere. And if you want to buy a deck, it will really help support this show because I'm just doing this for funsies and throwing it out there into the universe. So that can be found at artbymarker.com. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. All right, that was the show. Thanks for listening, everyone. Today's episode was recorded by Mark Dye. Our editor is Mark Dye, and he is also the executive producer. The intro and outro music was composed by Mark Dye in high school. It's really just me doing this. To support the How the Heck Have You Been podcast, visit artbymarker.com and buy some cool art. Thanks, y'all.